The last shiur we had discussed the Shlosh Regalim. Now I want to discuss three pairs of other Chagim. The first will be from the Torah, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The next will be Midrabanan, Purim and Chanukah. And the next will be modern holidays, Yom HaTzmut and Yom Yerushalayim. What? I'm not going to get into it right now. Okay. Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we know Aleph Tishrei, like Yom Kippur, doesn't really commemorate an event. Although some feel that it was a day that Adam was created, Adam sinned, and Adam was judged. This will be the first judgment day. Rather, it's a personal day of introspection. It's the first day of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And yet, we don't get this feeling of doing tshuva. There's no Avinu Malkeinu. There's Avinu Malkeinu, but there's no Vidui. There's no Al-Chet. So, what is the tshuva of Aseres Yemei Tshuva? It's Hakarat HaChet. It's this awareness that I sinned, and there's, as Rav Soloveitchik explained it, Hirur Tshuva. It's the beginning. It's the awakening. It's recognizing that there is a God. There's an amazing story that I once read in Shai Agnon's book, Yomim Noraim. He tells of Rav, I'm pretty sure it was Rav Shmuel of Nekelsberg, who was in shul on Rosh Hashanah, and when the Chazan started to sing HaMelech, he fainted. And after davening was over, explained to everybody, as he sang HaMelech, he was reminded of the famous Gemara in Gittin, where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is smuggled out of Yerushalayim, and he goes before Vespasian, and he says, the Melech. And he says, I'm not the Melech. And he says, I should kill you, because A, I'm not the Melech, you want someone, this king is not a king. And if I were to be the Melech, where have you been until now? And that's where Shmuel Nekelsberg said, where have I been until now? Only now I'm saying HaMelech. So this is what shook him. This is this awakening, this awareness. I'm before the Melech. How many times do you blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah? 100. How many do you really need to blow it? 30. How many really need to blow it? 9. We just don't know what a true is. Okay, fine. So we blow 30. And anyone knows that if you blow shofar for someone who didn't hear shofar before, we do 30. But in shul, we have a minute of 100. Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah says that comes from Aim Sisra. So there as well, I think the idea is an awakening that she deludes herself into thinking, oh, he's late because he's just out pillaging and raping, which is so sad for me to say now after the events that just happened. What? She said, oh, he's out just pillaging and raping. He'll be home soon. And then she realizes he's not coming back. Right? So it's that wake-up call. Now, there's three aspects of the shofar. First, we hear the shofar, it wakes us up, it's like an alarm clock. The second, we have to listen to the message. I'm sure you guys have heard me say this before. There's a nice Dvar Torah that I like from Rabbi Riskin. He said, how do we understand the psukim that Sarah says, here, take Hagar, and then two psukim later, Sarah's complaining to Avraham, look at you took Hagar, look at the way she's treating me. But you said so. So Rabbi Riskin said, Avraham heard her, but he wasn't really listening. Said, when he said, here, take Hagar, what was Avraham supposed to say? No, honey, I love you. I don't need anyone else. I have you. We can adopt. I don't need to have my own biological kids. So she misread that. Right? It would be like, you know, the husband says, you don't need me to help clean up, right? She goes, no, I got it. I made the food, and I served, and yeah, why should you clean up? No problem. I got this. And you go, okay, good. Right? So you're missing the point here. And according to this, we have to listen to the message. Not enough to just hear and be like, you know, the people in shul for Tkiyat Gedolah just looking at the watch and, wow, 23 seconds, that was cool. Right? Mm-hmm. That's not the point. Right? What is the shofar telling me? And the third is that it's a form of tefillah. When I blow into the shofar, breathing is nishima, and it's coming from my nishama, and it's more spiritual than using words. Now, question that everyone asks is, why do I have Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? It would make more sense to do tshuva, Yom Kippur, and then go to Judgment Day. So the answer that's usually given is, we're not ready for tshuva. First thing, we have to recognize the Melech. Once we recognize the Melech, we could talk. The simcha, the joy that we have on Rosh Hashanah, is from recognizing the Melech, from being mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from coronating the king. Kotzker Rebbe once said, where is God? And the answer is, anyone know? Wherever you let him in. It's our job to let God into our lives. Okay? Unfortunately, people don't do it. Rabbeinu Bachai said clearly, there's no king without a kingdom. We have to be his loyal servants, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can serve as God. Okay, that was Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur, as we know, is what day? 10th of Tishrei. And on Yom Kippur, we have 5 inuyim. We have 5 different ways that we afflict ourselves. What are they?
Fasting, no leather, no anointing, no relations, and no showering, no washing.
Good. Okay. Very good. It's the only biblical fast. 10 times we say Ashamnu. 10 times we say Alchit. We have 5 tefillot. Aside from the 4 of a regular, that we have Ne'ilah. We have each tefillah we have, you know, Chazrat Ashatz. So we're saying Vidui. Most of the Vidui is Ben Adam L'Chaver. 1/4 of the Vidui is watching our speech. The first step is recognizing that we sin. We say it over and over in the davening. Aval anachnu avaseinu chatanu. Aval doesn't mean but it means indeed. Indeed, we have sinned. Right? We recognize it. We own it. We take responsibility. The difference between a korban asham and an asham talui is tremendous. When do I bring an asham talui?
Accidental.
I'm not sure if I sinned. I ate fatty meat. I don't know if it was a kosher fat or the non-kosher fat. Okay? I bring an asham talui. So you might say, all right, I'll bring a korban, but it's sort of like a extra credit. You know, I probably didn't sin. But just in case, you know, I'll do this. Turns out, Rabbeinu Yona points out, the asham talui costs 48 times more than an asham vadai. When you actually sinned, okay, certain sins, you bring a korban asham, and the korban that you bring for an asham talui costs 48 times more. Is what he says. What's the purpose? To realize, hey, you shouldn't have eaten that meat. You can't sit there and say, someone said to you, you know, that might not be kosher. You go, yeah, I'll take my chances. You can't act like that. So therefore, the first thing is, you own up and realize, my conduct was unbecoming a Ben Torah. And you bring this carbon. Okay, our problem is we rationalize. What does it mean to rationalize? We tell ourselves, rationalize. Right? That's basically what it means. We say, nah, it's okay. We begin Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre. But Soloveitchik asks, is that the worst sin we did? You know, look back in the year and go, yeah, you know, I didn't keep a vow. I got to start off Yom Kippur with that. Is that really the worst thing? Why don't we start off every community all over the world with Kol Nidre, yeah?
Especially Duat Taras
Nedarim. So what's Kol Nidre about? So Soloveitchik said, it symbolizes tshuva. Had I known then, when I sinned, how I feel now, I never would have done it, or neder said it. I never would have taken the neder, right? I started when I was shana bet, I started wearing a jacket to davening. Why? Because my Rebbe wore a jacket to davening. I said, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. When did I start that? In the winter, when it was cold. Then it got really hot, and there was no air conditioning in the basement when I was in yeshiva. And I went over to my Rebbe and I said, like, do I have to keep doing this? And he says, did you realize when you started? I said, no. He goes, okay, you're out. So if I never would have said it. So here as well. If I would realize now how awful I feel on Yom Kippur for what I did earlier, I wouldn't have done it. So it's the Kol Nidre is symbolic of how tshuva works. Yeah.
But if you keep messing up and sitting there, and if you nonsense forget, but like ignore how you felt.
So you have to keep remind. You have to keep reminding yourself. We say ki l'chol ha'am bishgaga, right? Everyone, they're doing a b'shogeg because they really thought it through. They wouldn't do it. Now, sometimes you're right. We invite the Yetzer Hara. That's what we say. Al Chesed Katan be Yetzer Hara, which is sort of weird. Like what? All the other ones Yetzer Tov? No. Al Chesed Katan be Yetzer Hara is I invited the Yetzer Hara in. So when we do things that we know are going to put us in a bad situation, so then that's more on me than if it happens. You got to push. You got to figure out ways. Right? Now, the Kutzker said, I don't eat on Tisha B'Av because I'm too sad to eat. I don't eat on Yom Kippur because I don't need to eat. I'm feeling like an angel. The reason that we say Broshen Kavod Machzol Yelam Ve'ed out loud is what?
Like
the angels. So it's so interesting. Right after we ate a big meal on Leil Yom Kippur, we scream out loud, Broshen Kavod Machzol Yelam Ve'ed. And at the end of Yom Kippur, we haven't eaten in 25, and Yeshiva probably 27, 28, because you'll keep Yom Kippur forever, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, 27 hours, you haven't eaten. And what? You're going back to being quiet. How could that be? Says so many people, it's all about of where your head is. When you're davening Maariv Motzei Yom Kippur, you realize, I'm going to eat soon. So you're no longer the angel. Right? It's where your head is. You finish the big meal, and you're starting it, and you're going, well, I'm not going to be eating for a whole day. So it's a lot of Judaism is about your focus. Where's your focus? Yeah. This is said by many people. Okay. I think the first place I saw it was in the Aznayim Latorah, but I really think it's a lot of places. All right, Purim. Purim is on the 14th and the 15th of Adar, depending on, you know, where you're living. The story happens between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni, and there are four main mitzvahs, and they all begin with Mem. What are the four main mitzvahs?
Mishnah, Megillah, Matanos Levinim, and Mishnah.
Okay, good. Now, we got the Megillah, we got the Matanos Levinim, okay, Shloch Manot, and Mishnah, or Kalsuda, fine. What's the purpose of these? To engender goodwill. I give Mishloch Manot, I give Matanos Levinim. It's to engender goodwill. Okay, if you remember, we learned Megillah last year, even possibly the pseudo, it's to engender goodwill. You might even be Yotze, Mishloch Manot, by having guests or being a guest. And that's why there's no bracha. And that's why there's really no bracha on any mitzvah ben al-chavera. Because I shouldn't do it because Asher Kedishan Mitzav Sivano. I should do it because it's the right thing. I don't make a bracha before I get stuck. I don't make a bracha before I do chesed. I should be doing it because it's the right thing. And not feel it's an obligation. Purim, according to the Midrash, will forever be celebrated. And the Megillah will always be read. So why is Esther different? Because these are holidays, Pederach HaTeva. These are holidays that we were part of. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't just do for us. We were involved. We say in the Megillah, Kimu V'Kiblu. Right, we accept it upon ourselves, willingly. In Nisan, God carried us. In Adar, we do the walking. Nisan is the first month. We're infants. We're being carried. It's a one-year-old baby. Adar is the 12th month. We're already 12 years old. If God's carrying a 12-year-old, some of the parents carry a 12-year-old, it's a bad sign. So Nisan, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to us, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem Yilachem Lachem, God, Moshe says, God will fight for you. Atem Tacharishun, keep your mouth shut. By Megillah, Mordechai says to Esther, Oy vai voy to you, Im Tacharishun, if you keep your mouth shut. You got to act now. You got to go to Achashverosh. Okay? This is the point where now we're grown up. And God says, I want to see, something coming from you. Esther is found in the Torah from a Hester, Aster, Aster. God hides. Our job is to find him, even when he's hiding. Right? Unfortunately, we didn't see God. We have to look for him. Right? If you listen to my son Yonatan's thing, saying, trying to find the light in the darkness, right? In contradistinction to the Dor HaMidbar, right? What's the Dor HaMidbar? There's a Gemara that says, Sheker Achein Vehevel Ayofi, right? beauty is vanity, it's all false, that's Dor HaMidbar. Gemara says that's the generation of the Midbar. Why? Because of course they were from. They saw miracles all the time. It's no big deal. But when you don't see God, when you're living through a Holocaust, when you're living through massacres, and to still try to find God, that's like godless. And that's what we're expected to do. And that's what Esther did.
That's why I told my coworkers, like, Gary Cutton, like, oh, we had to go 13, what, when he's getting his bar mitzvah, everybody's paying attention to him, buying presents, he's getting a new suit. No, we should ask him when he's 18, 19, when he's struggling with certain things.
And if we'd ask the 18-year-old in the yeshiva day school, he'd all opt out.
Correct.
Amalek.
You shouldn't ask them at 13 when they're...
At 13, they're still pure, Baruch Hashem. Amalek wants to introduce confusion. Maybe. Okay. Amalek wants to introduce confusion. It says in the pasuk, "Asher karcha b'derech," he met you along the way. And the Gemara says it was like mikra. What's mikra? Coincidence. When the Jew just looks at things as coincidence, that's a problem. Our job is to see Hashem. Esther pleads with Chazal, "Kitvuni l'dorot," write this down. Let it be taught every generation. And Baruch Hashem it was, and it happened. Okay, we now move on to Hanukkah. Hanukkah takes place during Bayit Sheni. Antiochus, the Greek king, makes decrees to wipe out Judaism, and it's still Hellenism. What's Hellenism? It's a paganism, many gods with human forms and desires. Emphasis on body, emphasis on beauty. Hellenism basically believed in the holiness of beauty, which is in contradistinction to Judaism, which believes in the beauty of holiness. Right? So that's the difference between the two. Decrees included Chodesh, couldn't keep Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, and Mila. Now, Josephus refers to the family that fought as the Chashmonaim. Some argued that that might come from Chashmonaim, Chet Shin Mem, the people that wanted to maintain Chodesh, Shabbos, and Mila. They were the Chashmonaim, okay? And they fought. These decrees were to remove the uniqueness of the Jewish people. Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, that's Chodesh. Chodesh is, where do I, you know, we spoke about the calendar. How do I determine the calendar? Witnesses come to the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, and they say it's Rosh Chodesh. All the Chagim are dependent on that. Even today, said according to the Rambam, they have to be Jews in Israel. And then there's Rosh Chodesh. Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. Yerushalayim is the focal point for the Jews. What did the Greeks want to change it to? Athens. Right? They wanted Athens over Yerushalayim. Today you have people that have Wall Street over Yerushalayim, or Hollywood over Yerushalayim, were influenced by other cultures alien to Judaism. And that's a problem. People are more influenced by what they see in the media. In the year 167 BCE, Antiochus erected a statue of the god Jupiter in the Beis HaMikdash. And on Chav Hei Kislev, he brought a pig as a korban. After desecrating the Beit HaMikdash, he ordered Jews to bring korbanos of pigs. Governor of Modi'in ordered Matityahu the Kohen to bring a korban pig, and he refused. And another Jew volunteered, and Matityahu killed him, and he killed the governor. And he shouted, "Mila Shemelai, whoever's with me, join." And together with his five sons and volunteers, what?
That's like a famous song by, I think, Yoshimaru.
I don't know. Okay. Five sons and volunteers, they began a revolt against the Greeks. When he died, Matityahu, after a year, he was succeeded by his son, Yehuda, Judah the Maccabee. Judah was so relentless, he got the nickname the Hammer. Okay? Maccabee means hammer. Some suggest Maccabee comes from Azyashir, the Rosh Tevot of Mikamocha Be'elim Hashem, spells out Maccabee. Some suggest it's Matityahu Kohen Ben Yochanan, spells out Maccabee. Okay, but it's probably from the hammer, right? By 164, the Greeks surrendered Jerusalem and the Beit HaMikdash. Now, the war still continued in other parts of Israel, but by 164, we got the Beit HaMikdash back. The Greeks had chosen Chaf Hei Kislev to desecrate, because that's the date. If you look at Sefer Chagai, the Jews began to build the second Beit HaMikdash. And now, 3 years later, they rededicated. That's the Chanukat. It's Chanukah. They rededicated, and they celebrated Sukkot in Kislev. This is what it says in Sefer Makkabim. Sefer Makkabim is the Apocrypha, the stuff that didn't make it into Tanakh. It says they missed Sukkot that year because they were fighting. So they had an eight-day holiday. They brought Lulav and Esrog. Okay? And this was Hanukkah. For 8 days, they celebrated. They recognized Hashgachat Hashem. That's what Sukkot's all about. Recognizing Hashgachat Hashem. And they felt it in their lives. The Maral says the miracle of the oil was needed to recognize the Nes Nistar of the Milchama. Otherwise, people would have said, oh, we fought a good battle. We have to understand the miracle of the oil was to make us aware that the war was also a miracle. The Chassam Sofer says the war victory isn't mentioned in the Gemara because by this time they wanted to de-emphasize war. By the time the Gemara was written, it was after the Bar Kokhba Rebellion. The Bar Kokhba Rebellion ended in a tragedy. I think 580,000 Jews were killed. And as we know, their bodies were let to lie there for months. So the rabbis decided to de-emphasize the military aspect. And that's why in the Gemara, you really only talk about the Nes Pach HaShemen. The Chassam Sofer says the war victory isn't mentioned. Oh, okay, that's what I doubt, Chassam Sofer. Also, Hallel is said on Hanukkah as opposed to Purim, because as we saw and we learned Megillah last year, there is now an independent government in Eretz Yisrael. The miracle happened in Eretz Yisrael. We said, oh, why don't we have in Purim? Because we were still subservient to Achashverosh. It wasn't a miracle in Israel. This was a miracle in Israel. And we had our independent government. Yeah.
Interesting, because you said that Sukkot is celebrated on Hanukkah, but on Hanukkah it's not a full halal, but on Sukkot it is.
Hanukkah is a full halal. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. The Rambam writes Hilchos Halal in the laws of Hanukkah. The Gemara says, Lashona Acheret, in a future year, they were metaken the Chag of Hanukkah. Because like Purim, you sometimes need historical perspective to understand the importance of the day. Purim also, Esther had to plead, Kidfuni Ladorot. Hanukkah also, it was only later that people realized this is worthy of celebration. This leads perfectly now into Yom Ha'atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. Yom Ha'atzmaut, Hei Iyar, the 5th of Iyar, when Medina Israel was declared a state. Sefer Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Vav, Yechezkel calls the Jews in Galus Achil Hashem. And when Jews come back to Eretz Israel, Akiddush Hashem. These are his words. In Perek Lamed Zion, there's a vision shown to Yechezkel of dry bones coming back to life. And Rashi says that the Pshut Del Shel Mikra is referring to Am Yisrael coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Pei Chedam et Aleph, says Kibbutz Galiot, the Jews coming back to Israel, is as great a miracle as the creation of the world. According to the Ramban, conquering and settling and ruling over Eretz Yisrael has always been a mitzvah. But no one had the courage to do it until the early Zionists began to come 150 years ago and tried to make this happen. Clearly from God, because they didn't see this as a mitzvah. So obviously God is pulling the strings. These people left their comfortable surroundings to build up a barren land. The Holocaust and the creation of the State of Israel were the most dramatic events since the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, one devastating and one blessed. An army of survivors speaking different languages without proper weapons or training defended themselves against the onslaught of five armies. Like Purim and Hanukkah, it takes time for some people to recognize Hashem in this miracle. If people can ask, where was God in the Holocaust? As Rabbi Gold, Alav HaShalom, some of you guys got to meet, for the gold is to say, if people can say, where was God in the Holocaust? Well, it's quite clear where he was in the formation of the State of Israel. And the last Chag that I want to speak about, Yom Yerushalayim, on Chav Chet Iyar, of Tzvi Yehuda Cook, in 1967, started to cry and say, why is everyone celebrating? We don't have Yerushalayim. We don't have Hebron. We don't have Shiloh. We don't have Beit Lechem. And then, a couple of weeks later, we got all of that land. The greatest armies in the world lost when they had to fight on two fronts. And now, in the Six-Day War, we had to fight on three. And we more than tripled in size in 6 days. We conquered Yerushalayim. We declared Har HaBayit Bi'adenu. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau writes in his autobiography that he was like a rabbi in Tel Aviv. He went to visit soldiers in 1967 after the war. And he was saying, I was crazy, miracles. He was saying, like, what miracles? We fought like crazy. We buried a lot of people. And it's difficult when you're in the midst of it to recognize the miracles. The correct response when you look at the Six-Day War is not to say, wow, that's amazing, but to say, wow, God is amazing. That's what we do when we celebrate Yom Yerushalayim.